Sunday morning for Sunday school. We had gone all the way down, and we finished from verse 18 to 22. We started here and ended up here. If thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, referring to the members of the first New Testament church that he had organized. He was about ready to be crucified. He's giving them some final instructions. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, sets himself apart from the world, is lifted up into heaven eventually, and there he sits at the right hand of God, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Meaning that from heaven, his Spirit will direct the writing of the New Testament. He will direct them, and they are also going to be set more and more apart from the world. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word. Now, since that time and the completion of this book, a whole lot of people have believed. A vast number of people have believed. Many are called, but few are chosen. When Jesus came, he came and offered salvation to all men. And for those who believed in him and trusted him, they received salvation. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's not talking about salvation when it says many are chosen. But few, many are called, but few are chosen. Once you receive Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit of God, the very Spirit of Christ himself, begins to try to lead you to follow him. But you still have a will. The soul still has a will of its own. And it's supposed to submit to the Lord. Not very many do. These men that made up the first New Testament church, with the exception of Judas Iscariot, did. Neither pray I these for alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word. There's not a one of you sitting here who's saved, who has not been led by God's Spirit, if you will, the Spirit of his Son, to be faithful in church. It's not a one of you here. I used to hammer constantly on that subject, and literally preach some messages that would dip you into hell and pull you back up to try and get you to be faithful in church. That was a great mistake on my part, because the Holy Spirit of God is the one who works on you. He's the one who you have to respond to or fail to respond to. And it's not by response to my preaching or to my threats or to my intimidation by which you're going to be faithful in church. I can kid you about it. I can be serious about it. I can do all sorts of things that the worldly ways would tend to make you faithful. I suppose if I paid you a salary and you were dependent on that, then I would have a sufficient degree of control of where you might be faithful. However, that doesn't work in the Lord's church. And so you either respond to God's Spirit or you don't. I'm not preaching at you now. I'm just telling you the way it is. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, I'm going to begin in verse 22, because after I finished all those things yesterday, sitting there last night, I thought about that, and I thought, you know, I'm at least going to present this morning and try to give a picture of what the Lord is telling that first New Testament church. Many are called, but few are chosen. We're going to take a look at John 6, 2, John 6, 14, 15, John 59, 60, and John 60, 66. And a great multitude followed him, John 6, 2. There were a great multitude of people that followed him, and a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Well, they were following him because they wanted something from God that was physical, it was material, it was literal, something that could help them in their everyday lifestyle, and something that would give them assurance of good health and perhaps even material wealth. That's what they wanted. That's what many people want. And many people unite with churches that can promise them that, or being a prestigious member of it, will attain that for them. So that's very common. Now, among this great multitude, there were a lot of disciples, literal disciples of Jesus, that were believers, and that were saved, and that were following. Now take a look at verse 14, 15. Then those men when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. They said, this is the one that Moses was talking about. And Moses said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up like unto me. Him shall you hear. And whosoever shall not hear, of him it will be required. They had heard. They believed he was the prophet. They were disciples. They were following him. And in this sixth chapter, Jesus told them a whole lot of things. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed into a mountain himself alone. They believed he was the Messiah. And they wanted to take him right then and proclaim him to be Messiah the Prince, of whom Daniel spoke, of whom all the prophets spoke. They said, this is the man, this is the Messiah, this is the Lord. And they had their faith in him. And they were disciples. They were followers. Now notice, after he gives a lengthy discourse and says a bunch of things to them that strictly involve spiritual things, strictly involve following him spiritually, walking by faith, without regard to whatever it is in life that you want God to do for you, he gave them a lengthy dissertation, told them a bunch of spiritual things based on spiritual concepts, based on spiritual things that God gives you to make you grow spiritually. And look what happened. Verses 59 and 60. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They didn't want to hear it. They're having a thing at one of our leading churches in the ABA that involves a rap group. And it's nothing but an attempt to keep young people in church by appealing to their emotional feelings and desires. And this is spreading through our work like mad. And a lot of parents are being sucked into it. All I can do is warn you. If you don't get your children to follow the Lord for spiritual reasons, and if they're not following Jesus because he is Jesus, and because of the spiritual growth that they have received by his word and hearing it, you're going to lose it. I promise you, you're going to lose it. Oh, they may show a flurry of activity for a while, but pretty soon they're going to leave. Because the thing that keeps people disciples and following the Lord always has been, always will be, must be, based on a spiritual understanding and a spiritual growth in Christ Jesus that sees beyond all the material things that we want in this world and places our hopes and our dreams and our aspirations on the future things in heaven, where most of our eternal existence is going to be spent. Look what happened. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That actually happened. Pretty soon he was left with the 12 standing there. That's all that was left. That was the first New Testament church. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a lesson I've learned here. Thank you, Lord, for showing me these things and for letting me understand things that I would never have dreamed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You have no idea how much I've come to understand about what God wants from me and from his church. God wants disciples who will follow him, no matter what the cost, no matter what happens around them, no matter how much it materially depraves them or rewards them. That's what God wants. And very few, very, very few ever come to realize that. Acts 1:15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of them and said, the number of names together, about 120. Multitudes. Probably millions. At least hundreds of thousands followed him. And among them were many, 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 many disciples. But when the showdown came, when the time came between push and shove, and why are you following me? Most of them quit. You may quit, you may leave this church, but I'll guarantee you why you'll leave it. It'll be because the Word of God made it a little too hot for you. And it's made it a little bit unpleasant, and it's infringed in your preconceived ideas of what the Lord really wants from you. It's sad. Nevertheless, it's true. And I thank God I've learned that. Because it would be a very difficult thing for me to continue what I do based on the visible results from it. So many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called to God's kingdom city. Few will follow the Lord and enter it. This is what the Lord said and what we got down to last Sunday. Sanctify them through thy truth, John 17:17-22. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. He's talking to the First New Testament church. How far do you want to be sanctified? How much do you want to be set apart from the world? What kind of a price are you willing to pay for your worship of God? How committed are you? Is this just something that you work into your busy schedule, or is it something you're committed to? Well, I've made my choice. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And that's me, and that's you, and we are a local church, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Just how much does serving God mean to you? Just how much does it mean to serve God the way that God wants? Not your idea of what God wants, but what the Scriptures say. He's talking about the glory. Ephesians 2:22. In whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So why should you come to church? Why shouldn't you be baptized the way the Bible instructs? Why should you continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer? Why should you observe the Lord's Supper as a closed ordinance of the church? Why should you obey all these rules? Because they're your master's rules. And it's him that you owe allegiance to. It's him that you owe everything. And God has built us together, and his Son lives among us through the Spirit. So if he's down here when we assemble together and we worship together, why should you be down here? Because he's down here. If that's not enough, how can I offer you more? Should I give you programs? Should I give you all the different things that attract young people? Should I install programs in the church and get your approval to do things that attract people and have all these different things going on in the church? Sure, it'll increase the number in the church. Sure it will. Absolutely. But God wants disciples. He wants people to follow him for spiritual reasons. All of us want to follow Jesus, but we want to throw in a little bit of our own ideas of the physical activities that give us pleasure, and it would certainly seem nice if we were to work them into the church. As long as I'm your pastor here, you're going to have to run me off before I'll do that, because it's wrong. It's wrong. And as much as I would like to do it to placate you and pacify you and win your favor, I cannot. I will not. Because it is not God's will, and it is God's will that a church follow his Son for spiritual reasons. And you can give me all of your arguments and say, but it just makes sense. It worked at this church. It worked at that church. Yes, many things make a lot of sense. But the question is, does God's word direct anything like that, or do you find anything in the Scriptures from start to finish that indicates that is something that God wants you to do? Ephesians 3:21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That's where God gets his glory. And it's through Christ Jesus. You need to teach your children to love Jesus for who he is and for what he did. You need to, you say, well, I don't think they'll follow that. Listen, multitudes won't follow it. Maybe you followed it. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you're just playing a game with the Lord. Your children are impressed by your commitment to the Lord, and that lasts. But they are not impressed with all the different things that you can offer them through programs that are exciting and will keep them in church until they grow up. And then when they grow up, they're gone. John 17:23. We started 17:17-22. I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That's what I believe. Now look, that they may be made perfect in one. What's he talking about? He just got through telling you right up here. Sanctifying through thy truth, thy word is truth. Setting apart. That's what he wants. He's not talking about sinless perfection. He's talking about being set apart from the world. How can you set children apart from the world when you find programs and you say, well, it worked in this church and it worked in that church and it worked in this church and this church is doing it, this pastor's for it, and this pastor is for it. It'll work. I don't doubt that it will work. But it will not lead them to a loving relationship with Christ. It will lead them to fun and games, and you'll lose them. If you want to wait until it happens, go ahead. But you will lose them. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, listen. I wish they'd have had programs like that when I was growing up. I'm 72 years old. You know why I love Jesus? We didn't have programs. We had some old raw-bone, hard preachers like me. And finally, I realized what they were talking about. Didn't happen overnight. But all of a sudden one day, I realized, you're wasting your time. You're spinning your wheels. You better start following Jesus. You better get committed. You better make the choice. Do you want to be one of the few? Or do you want to continue on your current path and go to heaven, but not have any concern about the future? God put the church down here to set people apart from the world. The world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Our missionary Baptist churches are loading themselves down with the same programs that are used in Methodist churches, Presbyterian churches, Assembly of God churches, Pentecostal churches, and we're loading ourselves down with them. Well, that's their business. And what you do with your children is your business. The only question is this. Is your business with your children in tune and in line with God's way of raising children? I've been pastor here for 30 years. I was never engaged in a program in my life. But I got a lot of good preaching. Didn't particularly like it. And all the people in the church kept saying, well, that's too much for the kids to understand. They can't understand that. The kids don't want to understand it. You say, well, what do? You just keep doing what they did to me. You just keep making them go to church. And they either come to understand it or don't. But if you fill them up with a bunch of superfluous material that you think is great, how long will that superfluous material last after they leave your grasp? Ephesians 5:22-35. We're talking about giving glory to God in the church. We're talking about being set apart. That's what he told this last church. And they didn't have any programs. They didn't even have bathrooms. They went out in the woods. They didn't have toilet paper as we know it today. They didn't have anything but Jesus. Jesus is what's needed in a church. And preaching Jesus is what's needed in a church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be made holy and without blemish, that they may be made perfect in one. We preach and teach the word of God. I fully am cognizant and recognize that the majority of missionary Baptists today say, it's not enough. You've got to supplement it. You've got to put it at the child's level where he can understand it. And you've got to turn it into something that God can use. No, God has already put us down here with this book to show us what we can use. So ought men to love wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. The Lord's talking about the church here. He's talking about the church growing in love for Christ. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. That's where God gets glory. Do your children recognize that? Have you taught your children what the local visible body is? Have you taught your children that Jesus is present when the assembly comes together? Have you taught your children the importance of serving in God's church just because Christ loves you and gave himself for you? Have you taught your children about the things that are to come, or have you put them into entertainment programs? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's what happens. That's what happened to me. Did you ever have a program, Ken? How come we got so committed? This is the Word of God. That's what it was. You say, well, yeah, but we need to do something. We need to... No, you don't. You say, but they're not listening. You're way over their head. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm right where they need to be. But they're not where God wants them. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. These men God wanted to set aside, make perfect. They were already saved. He wanted them to grow up. They grew up without program. They grew up without toilet paper. They grew up without indoor toilets. They grew up living off the land as they passed from place to place. They did God's work and God's will. And by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, I will not do anything otherwise. John 17:24. We're continuing in the same Sunday school exposition. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Yes, God chose me to salvation in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I've been saved for 60 years. So what's the purpose of life now? Well, I've been scripturally baptized. I'm in one of God's churches, and I want to live in the kingdom city. You said, well, our children aren't interested in that sort of thing. They need to be. Maybe they're not interested in it because you're not interested in it. Maybe heaven is just a big glob place you go to. You want all your kids to go there, but you don't care where they live. Don't tell me I don't understand. I do. John 14:1-6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. It hadn't been prepared at that time. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. You said, well, that's talking about salvation. Now, you think it's talking about salvation. It is. It does have to do with it. But there is a way into the kingdom city for all children of God once they receive Christ and are eternally sealed. I want my children to live in that city. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, some of them don't seem to be following the path. That is not the problem. That's their problem, but I cannot change that. By supplementing the Word of God and getting them to follow cleverly devised plans whereby this leads them to do what God wants, they have to make the same choice and the same decision that I did. And many are called, but few are chosen. I love you. I love you dearly. But thank God I can't make the choice for you. And thank God you're going to have to make it by God's word. Where do you want to live in heaven? That's not the most important question you ever had to answer in your life. Whether you wanted to go to heaven or not, whether you wanted to become a child of God is the most important question. But the second most important question is, where do you want to live in heaven? Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where's the Father going to be in the millennial reign? He's going to be in Christ, in the millennial temple. Where's he going to be in the final heaven age? In Christ, in the final heavenly city. That's not just talking about salvation. It is, but it's talking about going on and trying to teach your children where they're going to live in heaven and the importance of it. Don't tell me they can't understand it. I wish to God somebody had told me when I was young. Matthew 6:33-34. What we're talking about here is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These men were already saved and scripturally baptized. We're talking about seeking a kingdom city. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're talking about a daily battle. You say, well, these programs will help them face that daily battle. No, they won't. They'll keep them in church, but they never will have a close, personal, warm relationship with Jesus Christ based on the Spirit of God cementing it in their hearts. He never will be close, warm, and personal to him. He'll always be somebody associated with a program. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. He made an offer to him. This is why few are chosen. Very few. And it's not God's fault. It's their fault. You say, well, I want my children to be chosen. I want to be chosen. Then get committed yourself. Matthew 4:17-25. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He came offering the kingdom of God. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. That's what God wants from you. That's what God wants from your sons, from your daughters, from your nieces, from your nephews, from all those people you're concerned about. Yes, we need to be concerned about the salvation of their souls. But once that's settled, this book is what they need. And they can understand far more than you think. So think about that. As long as I'm the pastor of this church, by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, we're going to let this be what we use. And our teachers are going to teach it. And I'm going to teach it. And we're going to present Jesus just like he is. And if that isn't enough to draw people to him, we're not going to supplement or offer anything else. We simply will not do it. Why? Why do you think I'm standing here? Because that's what drew me to Jesus. And I don't want you to be drawn to Jesus by anything else except by his Spirit and the Word of God. Kenneth Eubanks, would you dismiss it?